Joan shared with me something today. It was so awesome. She was saying last night she was in her bed, and she was just, you know, like someone said last night, we just wanted to leave this place last night and go straight home to bed and not talk to anyone. We didn't want what God had, when he showed up, what he did for our hearts last night. And she was saying she was lying in bed and she was thinking, oh, more of you, Jesus, more of you, Jesus. And then this thought came to her, you know, really, it's not a case of the prayer, more of you, Jesus, because that sounds like he only wants to come and give us of himself in drips and drabs, you know, a little teaspoon here, a little dropper full there. That's really not the right prayer. That the right prayer is that, Jesus, I want to give more of myself to you. That's the key. That's the battle. It's not that I want more of you. It's I need to give more of myself to you. You will come in, give me a greater capacity for you. There is the battle and there is the key. It's not that God wants to withhold from us. It's us needing to give more of ourselves to him, which he will fill. That's how we get more of him. And really, that's what this message, or just these thoughts, it's sort of the crux of what I want to say in God taking us to a place of faith. Now, in Isaiah 7, I want to read starting in verse 5 of Isaiah 7. And it says this, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Now that is just kind of jumping into a verse, but here is really what's happening. This Isaiah 7 is a story in part about a king of Judah whose name is Ahaz. And Ahaz is a king in crisis. He is the king of Judah. And his why he speaks to us today, he represents the thought life of a believer in adversity. King Ahaz, his story and who he is, represents our thought life when you and I are in a state of adversity. And the scripture tells us that Ahaz really was not a very good king of Judah. There had been other kings before him and after him who would seek after the things of God, but Ahaz did not have a very good record. In fact, when his enemies and his adversities came after him, he turned to the kings of Assyria for help instead of turning to the Lord. So he had another kind of trust, and he struggled to trust God in times of adversity. And we have at times, all of us, been Ahaz. We have at times, all of us, known what it is to react like Ahaz. When we are found faithless, when we are found quaking and full of fear, when we seem on the verge of being overpowered, where we can live for a season defeated, where there is no hope. And the enemies say to him, let us go up against Judah. Let us go up against this king. Let us go up against the people of God. And let's vex it. And that word vex means disgust. It means a deep emotional reaction of revulsion. Here's the enemy. Here's how he exactly feels about the people of God. A deep emotional revulsion. We have an enemy, make no bones about it. But the thing is, the way the enemy feels about us, many times we feel that way about ourselves. And when we are in periods of where we seem to have so little faith because the circumstances seem bigger, we can develop many times a revulsion for ourselves that we want to hide. And it says, let us, the enemy said, make a breach, a hole in the wall. And here we have the picture of our salvation is like a wall. And the enemy is looking for a soft spot. And it, you know, we all have them. where we are especially vulnerable to the lies of the enemy, to our own flesh, to people, certain people that push our buttons, certain circumstances where we seem to have no power to respond in faith or in the Spirit. And they said, you know, we despise, this is a weak king, and we see an opportunity here. And let's go in against his land, overthrow him, and set up a king of our own choosing, a friend of ours. And here, beloved, it's not an idle threat, because Ahaz is not a successful king. He has apparent weaknesses. He places his trust in the Assyrians. And it's interesting because Syria, combined with Ephraim, combined with Remaliah, the Assyrians are no match for this confederacy. They smell a victory, like our enemy does. And look who is attacking. Who is attacking us when we are the most vulnerable, when we know that we've been called to a life of faith, and yet because of circumstances, we just cannot seem to get the victory in certain areas. We just can't. It's not for lack of trying many times. It's not for what we feel is a lack of believing. But there are certain areas of repeated weakness. Sometimes we'd rather just forget it than deal with it or try to ignore it. Because it's almost like our faith, if we have one more failure in that area, it could take our entire faith. That we do have a faith in God, but in the areas where we're strong or where we were able to minister or step out, we cling to that. But God is God of it all, and he has to bring us to a place of this weakness. And we don't want to go there. Because we really, in our heart of hearts, are fearful of this kind of battle. So look who is attacking this king, Ahaz, who doesn't really have a great faith track record. First of all, Syria. And Syria is a natural enemy. Syria is the natural enemy of Judah. Syria is our natural enemy. You know, the ones that just naturally are worked into our character. Maybe because of, you know, who our upbringing, maybe it's a family trait, maybe it's we just have that inclination to fear, that inclination in certain situations we can't believe, certain situations where we get so rebellious and no one can speak to us, certain situations we can't give way, where our back goes ramrod straight and we won't bend. It's our insecurities. Also attacking him is Ephraim. And Ephraim was a tribe of Israel, used to be a part of Judah. It's when we are being attacked or we feel like part of the problem we're facing at the moment, where we seem so weak in faith, is when someone who is close, who's someone who got close, and then for whatever reason bolted and betrayed us. Where maybe we feel like when they got close and saw our weakness, they just withdrew their support from us. A place where someone close is no longer close. And we're very vulnerable on that point and get extremely defensive. It's painful. Look who attacking is the king of Israel. He's not just fighting, you know, the fears within and those clothes, but the king of Israel is another king to the north. This is, you know, authority. What does authority do to us when it speaks to us? When the voice of authority, no matter who it comes through, speaks to us, we automatically our time our way. Is there something that, you know, we bristle? And we don't realize it, but it's masking so much behind it. So much that needs the liberation of God. So much that needs the grace of God. And we, you know, many times masking a place of deep pain or betrayal. Many times altars of stubbornness. And when voices, another king speaks, you know, it can represent when authority speaks. And all this hammering of our thought life, that when we find ourselves in a place where we just don't seem to have the overcoming faith that we know is available in Christ, and yet we seem to limp along, or we seem to have no faith in these areas. We are like King Ahaz, who is because of Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, which tells us in an earlier verse is the king of Israel. When these three come against us and say, let's go up against that believer, that king, let's go up against him and let's vex him, just show him how contemptuous we are of him, that we can walk in his land, bother him, and walk out at our choosing. That's how weak that king is. And let us make a breach in his wall, that he always feels vulnerable and has to pretend where he's very strong, that's where he wants to live, at that gate. Meanwhile, we'll come in at the weak gate, at the weak point. And we know, beloved, when where is an open breach in the wall of our faith, we know the whole thing will go over time. Because that's an entrance for the enemy to come in and say, yeah, God's good. Yeah, God's strong. God is God over all, and yet there's an enemy through our thought life who's constantly reminding us he seems to have the upper hand. And then they can set a king of their own making over our thought life, perhaps a king of despair, a king that says this battle is unwinnable. As we said last night, something secret that is on the throne of our heart and mind, ultimately a king of despair and depression and unbelief in certain areas of our life. And sometimes as a church, we have all experienced this, but we must preach victory and sing victory. And it's wonderful to be stirred to that truth, but we seem to leave the place and the next morning live in the defeat of how we came in. And I just want to read this to you. There's a scripture in 2 Chronicles, and it says this: for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz. That's the king, this thought life we're talking about. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz the king. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. This king, this thought life that enters into the believers, makes Judah, that's the people of God, naked and transgress sore against the Lord. A very, very serious thing. And when you look at that word made naked, it means to slip through the fingers by ignoring an opportunity. To slip through the fingers by ignoring an opportunity. So here is a king who has made his people naked because God is coming and is there. And yet, in this thought life, in this view where he lives, he slips through his fingers opportunities presented, opportunities of deliverance, opportunities of testing and proving God, opportunities of knowing God. And he just lets them slip through his fingers by ignoring, by totally not honoring God, by not placing him where he is truly in life, by ignoring him, by a casualness, by I know better, I understand better, and all the while giving lip service to him, he causes Judah to become abhorrent to the Lord. It's not some big gaffe this king is doing. It's not some horrendous mistake that the whole community can point to and say, look how this woman blew it. No, it's more insidious than that. It is letting through our fingers when God comes to a nation, when God comes to the heart of women, and we just let it slip through like it's a casual thing, that the Spirit of God has come to us, and we just, you know, no big thing here. And I'm just, you know, this one small stone in the step, You know, it's a casual thing of what God wants to say and do. And you know what? I'll just learn to bear with my weakness and rejoice where I'm strong, and it will be good enough. And God says, no, you're naked before me. Because you're causing to go through your fingers and ignoring this glorious opportunity of deliverance and freedom and the call I have on your life by letting it slip through. And it's interesting because that word made naked is exactly the same word when it says what we spoke on it last night. Without a vision, the people perish. That word perish is the same word as naked. Without a vision, and we spoke about that last night, that means a clear mental picture, whose root word means a split screen. It means without a clear mental picture, without having a split screen of what life is obeying God and life not obeying God. Those two different kinds of life. Having that picture before us. If we don't have that clear picture before us of what is before us and the choice being given us, we will end up perishing, being made naked. And it's a casual thing what God wants to do in our lives. And so this being made naked and treating God this way is having a huge issue on his ruling and reigning. It's having a huge issue for Ahaz on how he rules and reigns. And are we not made kings and priests unto God, called to rule and reign? Is there something, is there a huge issue that's hindering our ruling and reigning in this life with Christ? And so this brings us to Isaiah 7, and here is where Ahaz finds himself. God says a most amazing thing in verse 7. God says this personally to Ahaz in verse 7, and he says, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. God was saying to Ahaz, Syria, those natural enemies, and Ephraim, those who have wounded you close, or you have wounded, or we have wounded, or issues of authority. He goes, it shall not come to pass that what they want to do to your faith life shall prosper. They will not go up against you and win. They will not go up against you and vex you, abhor you. They will not go up and make a breach. They will not go up and set their own king of despair over your faith life. It shall not happen, and I will not cause it to happen. It will not come to pass. And verse 8 and 9, he says, why? Because these things are a light thing to me. I just flick my finger and all that opposition goes, for I am God. And it says, verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. God comes to this king who has not been faithful, who has not done it right, who has, it represents our thought life and where our faith seems so small at times. God comes to us, at times women of little faith, and he says, that which is opposing your thought life, tells you you're going down, you never will change, I can't break up this stronghold, I can't cover over that wall, it shall not happen to you. It shall not happen to you. I have said it shall not come to pass. And here's why. They're a light thing to me. I was a light thing to you, Ahaz. But I tell you, your enemies are a light thing to me. And he says, the Lord spake to Ahaz, ask me of a sign. That word sign means something miraculous. Ask of me something miraculous. You know, we really know where our faith is when we hear what we ask God. Do we ask him, and I don't put this down, but is your prayer, give them traveling mercies? Is that your most common prayer? Or is it, oh God, save to the uttermost my family, break up my unbelief. Lord, where I am weak, take me to a place, Lord, in you. I freely admit who I am, but you alone are God, and you can change me because you love me and gave yourself for me. Is that the kind of prayers we pray? Or is it, and I don't put it down, but grant them traveling mercies, because that's the only faith we have, traveling mercy faith. Because it's the right thing to say. Because that's what we pray. When there's no other prayer in our heart or our mind. Nothing there of faith.
And God says, ask of me something miraculous. And he says, ask something of the depth. Ask something deeply personal. Ask something that belongs to the depths of our being. Ask something, Lord, that breaks up the regret that wants to poison the well of my joy. Ask me something, Lord, where you break up the blame, because those that live blaming others end up being good for nothing. If you're good at blaming, you end up good for nothing. Break up, Lord, the unloving response, the frozen response I have to people, the unresponsive way I am to people. Break it up, break it up. That's not you, how you've dealt with me. Break it up. Ask something of the miraculous that's deeply personal, or ask something of the height above. Let it be something as the heavens stretch over the earth. Let me ask for something worthy of you. Let me ask for something worthy of you that you alone can do. Not a presumptuous faith, but a faith born that, God, you've come to me. And even in my failure, you say, ask and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. So let me start by asking, show me something I know not. Ask something great. Ask something deep. Ask, ask, ask. God didn't come to this king as a reward because he'd done it all right. God came to him because he needed him. Because Ahaz's weakness is not the last word in the universe. Weakness is not the last word in the universe. God is the last word in the universe. And God says to Ahaz, ask it because you surely need it. God is saying here, we don't have to fully believe him to fully ask him. I'll say that again. You don't have to fully believe him in order to ask fully of him. A little bit of faith enables and gives you and I the right to ask big, because we go boldly into the throne of grace in time of need. A little bit of faith asks us to allow great big ways. That's our right. That's our inheritance. That's the rules Jesus made. So who are we to contradict him? When we're feeling the worst, go in boldly and ask big. That's how we defeat the enemy. But what did Ahaz say? Verse 12. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. I will not ask. God says to him, ask of me, Ahaz. Ask deeply, ask greatly. You need me more than you know. Your enemies are nothing to me. Ask. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt. That means test the Lord. Now, here we have religion in its worst form, do we not? And I think a theme of this conference is God breaking up evil religion in our hearts. In our hearts as believers. This self-righteous, holy-sounding language that is abhorrent to God. You know, can I ask you, and why don't we have a discussion on it? Why don't you ask one another, why would Ahaz not ask? Why would Ahaz say, when the word of the Lord came to him, when the word of the, I mean, this is not Isaiah speaking to him. This is the word of God himself taken right to his heart and mind. Ask of me. Why would Ahaz say, I will not ask? Did he feel he wasn't good enough? Maybe. He didn't deserve it. God didn't say he deserved it. Did he say, I will not ask, because he didn't believe? Was he afraid, well, if I do ask one more time and nothing happens? You know, so I won't ask. I'll preserve the little I have and think that's okay with God. In other words, presenting is unbelief is a reason not to believe. No, every time we encounter unbelief in our heart, it has to be broken up with humility. That humility is the only way we break up unbelief. We have to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Or more rightly in some situations, Lord, I don't believe, help me to believe. Humility is the only, there has to be a humility worked into us, my sisters, or we will amount to a hill of beans in God. We need humility. We have to say, you know what, I'm afraid my faith will fail and I'm afraid I'll lose everything, Lord, if I ask. God can take the truth because he is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. Jesus is truth. He knows all about it. He knows what was in Ahaz's heart, and he knows why he's refusing. But there's something when we speak it out, when we get the humility to actually say what's going on, and the courage, because it takes courage to be humble, and the courage to say, this is what I am facing, we get somewhere. Because God's not going to go, oh my gosh, and like, you're like, what? And walk away. The Holy Ghost is not a scared rabbit. Runs away when we need him the most. That's not how God works. You see, God wanted to bring Ahaz. He wants to, who represents our thought life as a believer in adversity. He wants to bring it all to the light that we may be healed in God. Why did Ahaz not ask? Was he, this is the fruit of being so casual. No big deal here. No big deal. Because God is just coming to the gates of my heart and mind and my life, coming to the gates as deliverer, and to break up a stronghold of the enemy who has long held me in certain areas of my life. But, you know, this is just a little issue. This is just Syria. This is just Ephraim. We all know about Ephraim. So casual. It's the fruit of making him and everyone around him where God and walking with God is such a light thing. Not the high privilege it is. Such a light thing. Such a little thing. Such an afterthought. Just something, you know, that's part of my life, not my life. The fruit of being so casual and it leading us to a hardened heart where an unprecedented opportunity for deliverance is presented and he just lets it slip through his fingers through ignoring it, saying, I will not ask, and because I'm not going to tempt God. Who is he kidding? Is it ultimately because he doesn't want to? Shocking as that could be, does he just not want to? You know, beloved, a lot of times God is asking us to do things and we know it's going to take the Spirit of God. That's a costly thing, the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God always goes across our flesh, doesn't it? Always goes across our flesh. And we don't like it when our flesh is crossed. And it's like, I just don't know if I can, you know, muster up the strength in my flesh to fight the flesh. Well, that's not how we do it, is it? We have to call on the Spirit of God who is faithful and who does rise up in us. But many times we try fighting the flesh with the flesh. And God's asking us to do something. We try to muster our flesh to counter flesh. No wonder we're exhausted and losing ground in our faith at times. But sometimes we just don't want to. We just don't want to. And the Bible says that rebellion is as witchcraft and stubbornness as idolatry. And in our stubbornness, we set up the idols, and we don't even know it. We set up idols of my way, my time, and make excuses for it, call it, you know, my walk with Jesus. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Now, God's not caught by surprise in all this. But former kings of Judah They called on God and said, help me, give me strength to tear down the idols and the groves. And they were given strength, and all the people rejoiced, and the land prospered. Because the people of God tore down their altars, their idols. And sometimes our idols of stubbornness against the will of God. You know, sometimes it takes a revelation. That's what we're dealing with, because we, you know, we just don't realize that. But there is reasons why we withdraw from an invitation of God. Sometimes there are reasons why we withdraw from the miraculous. We withdraw. And God knows all about it. So Isaiah says, I will not ask, and neither will I tempt the Lord. And so it says, verse 13, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? The interesting thing now, it's Isaiah now talking to Ahaz, not God. This face-to-face speaking to his heart has ceased. And Ahaz now is dependent on hearing from those with the Spirit of God, because he can't hear anything. And Isaiah is talking, and he says, you know, by your bringing Judah low, you have wearied us. But now will ye weary God? Will ye weary God also? But verse 14 says, and it's Isaiah talking, and he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You can't ask for a sign, Ahaz. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And here is the prophet Isaiah, now not just speaking to Ahaz, but the prophet is speaking to the whole house of David. And it's like, whosoever will hear. This thought life in adversity cannot grasp what is being said to him. But God is now broadening it and saying, you know something? This thought life that is faithless in the place of adversity, I'm still going to speak to my people. I'm still going to give them a promise of who can ever hear. Whoever will say, no part of Ahaz in me, but I seek, Lord, what it is you have to say. And God then says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, because I'm determined to do something miraculous. I am determined to show you a miraculous sign. And this is what God is saying. I will send a sign, and there shall be a miracle. And this is what the miracle shall be. A willing woman who meets the power of God. That will be the sign. A willing woman who will receive the power of God. It says, a virgin, a woman, a pure spirit, those that begins a cry, God, release me from an Ahaz spirit. Release me and cleanse my spirit. I have seen myself in this Ahaz, but God, you who know everything, you still love me, and your voice is still coming to me even now, and you say you want to show me something miraculous. And here's your promise to me, that any woman who is saying a cry, deliver me from the Ahaz spirit of all that we have just spoke about, and says, make me a virgin, a pure spirit, God says, that virgin shall conceive, shall be quickened by the Spirit of God, and she shall bear life. She shall bear life a son. And because of her, all the people will say, God is still with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God's promise is saying, I'm looking in this nation for willing women who are saying, I want to be virginal in my mind. I want that seed of Ahaz in all his spirit, and how he has affected me and infected me. Lord, you alone can cleanse me and deliver me. And that virgin shall conceive. That virgin shall receive power to bear life. And she shall call his name, this life in her, Jesus in her, bearing him to her nation, Emmanuel. They're going to look at this life and say, God is still with us because of you. If you will be a willing woman, saying, Lord, search me. And anything of that Ahaz spirit in me, I thank you, Lord, you don't condemn me. You did not die on the cross to condemn me. You died on the cross to save me. To save me from that Ahaz spirit. And I don't have to hide anymore and trying to cover myself with excuses like Eve did. Lord, I'm coming into the light because you promised to clothe me not with these skimpy little fig leaves where I still feel naked, but you promised to clothe me with the righteousness of Christ. You promised to put your spirit within me and give me power to become like you. So I come. I will not be found saying, I will not ask. I will not ask God for a miraculous sign in me and around me. I will not be found like that, because there is a call. The Holy Spirit is coming to the women of Ireland. He's coming to you. I know that sometimes, you know, you just wonder and go, God, please don't look here. I feel like, you know, I feel like a stool with a leg missing, and I can't bear any weight. I can't, you know, I'm kind of useless. God says that's exactly who I'm looking for. Because when we are weak, then we are strong. Our weakness calls on the power of God. God has had a belly full of people who think they can do it in his house, and it has amounted to nothing. But those who draw on the Spirit of God in them, they shall do exploits. God's looking for weakness if we can hear it. Who know we can't, but he can, and boldly ask for a miracle because he can. And we have to, you know, we've been so shaped under this Ahaz thinking, a king who's blown it, not done it well, but God still came to him. But beloved, it's very dangerous if we will not admit the areas of Ahaz, because you see, we can't be found naked. We can't just let, through a casualness, let run through our fingers, ignoring this opportunity of deliverance. For have you not been called for such a time as this? God always chooses the weak to confound the wise. Always, 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 always. And when as women we begin to tap into the Spirit of God, he gives us a strength, a dignity, and a wisdom. But then sometimes we think, hey, look what I've done. Look what I'm becoming. No, and then we have to go back. No, it is by your Spirit, Lord. But once this power of Ahaz is broken off us, then that virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name God. And this is the hope of this nation, indeed the hope of every nation, but the hope of this nation, that the promise is not ever going to be received by the King Ahaz's of this world, whether in his house or out of his house, never. You know what he says? He refuses the power of God, doesn't he? He says, I will not ask, even my extreme need, I will not ask, and sound so pious about the whole thing. No, don't talk to me of miracles, sister. Don't talk like that. That's not how I believe. That's not how I do it. You don't have to defend yourself, beloved. You don't have to argue for God. You don't have to do that. You can say, Lord, clothe me with a humble spirit and teach me to go to the prayer closet and ask of you great and mighty things, and you will not disappoint me. You will not disappoint me. God is looking for women today. What was the sign for Israel then? If the king won't believe, how the sign will be, then I shall find a woman of a pure spirit. Put my, overshadow her by my Holy Spirit. And she shall conceive life. Because you and I were created for life, were we not? Weren't we just physically made to bear life? Yes. And something about us, you know, as women in the spirit, we can bear a lot. We are called actually to bear a lot. We are. it is possible. That's the good news. That's the good news. It's possible. It is possible. And today, Lord willing, when this word is brought to your heart, when this word is brought to your spirit, when this word is brought to your mind, what are you going to say? What are you saying right now in your heart to the Lord? What are you saying? What are you saying? Are you saying, I will not ask because I'm afraid, because I know me? No, I believe the word of the Lord has not come to you in vain. I believe the Spirit of God is here to strengthen us, to rise and believe. I believe that we are here understanding the tender mercies of the Lord. He knows our weakness and our failings, but that didn't stop him from extending the hand of mercy to Ahaz, and it does not stop him from extending the gracious and merciful hand to us today. We all know what it is to be Ahaz, but by the mercy and grace of God, I believe we're going to give a different answer than he did. Because we're hearing that Ahaz will be, Ahaz was deposed. His son was Hezekiah. Another generation who wanted to do it right rose up. His legacy did not carry on. But those that go the way of the Lord, their legacy carries on. Something lasting cannot be, something eternal cannot be quenched out of the earth. And we will join a chorus of people who are joining into something that's of value and worth. Our lives are going to count for something. Your life is supposed to count for something. So many women, they really feel the race of faith is unwinnable because of certain battles, because of too much pain, too much betrayal, and somehow have ended up just being a lightweight. You don't have to be a lightweight. You don't have to be a lightweight in faith. You may not have a title in the church. That does not mean God is not with you. And to put his weight in you and the force of your prayers and the beauty and the simplicity of your faith shine through. And people at the end know God is with her. Therefore, God is with us, and you inspire and bring hope. The only title Jesus ever gave himself on this earth was Son of Man. He didn't think much of titles. Not that we don't give honor where honor is due, but you know what I'm talking about. And what's happened, the backlash is some people have been self-anointed and self-appointed because they felt their only worth is if they had a title. You know, we understand that. But God has something better for us. He wants the real thing. He wants to give of himself. He wants his spirit to overshadow our spirit. He wants this communion so close with us. He's not content with a distant relationship. He died that we could be one. That's how close the relationship is to be. There is no excuse for unbelief in the face of such love that Calvary shows us. There is no excuse for unbelief. And today, we don't want excuses. We just want to be cleansed of that Ahaz spirit. And then God says, I'll give you a sign. I'll give you something miraculous in its stead. A willing woman will receive the power of God. And people will say, God is still with us. Because she gets transformed and filled. I just want to finish by showing you a bit how this true testimony that happened in our church on Sunday nights in our church in New York.
we have a service, but it's not like the regular church services. On Sunday night, we have testimony night. And we have several people, usually three testimonies from among the congregation that stand up and tell about their life and what God has done in their life. And it's bringing in unsaved people because people are hungry to know God is real and see the power of change in lives. And it speaks to them like nothing else to the unsaved. And you know, the place is packed. And before we came here last Sunday night, this lady got up to tell her story, and her name was Nora. And she got up and she started speaking how and with her husband's job, they had transferred around a lot, and she had ended up in New York City. And when they moved to New York City, it became a time of deep despair and depression for her because she had ended up being uprooted from so many different places that, you know, you couldn't form the attachments. There was no family, no friends. It just became a very deep, dark place for her when she moved to New York City, feeling rootless and friendless. And depression would come on her, and people, friends that knew her, she tried to speak of what was going on, and, you know, it was obvious she was sinking in this valley. And she found out a year or so later after moving there that her husband was having an affair. She was absolutely devastated. She moved out of the house, and she was all alone in this place far from New York City, and almost despairing of her mind. Couldn't bear to see people, would stay in for 2 weeks at a time. Couldn't bathe, couldn't do anything. Given over to despair. And her son came to her and said, "Mom, why don't you go to this little church here?" And, you know, she would go to church, and, you know, at first it didn't mean much. But she began to go, and she joined prayer meeting. And she began to pray, "Oh God, give me my husband back. Give me my husband back." Nothing happened. And over time, her prayer changed. It's like, and people of faith began to gather around and pray with her. And then she said, "Lord, give me my husband back, but don't bring him back the way he was. Bring him changed. You know, I want a man of faith and changed." Prayed that prayer for a while. Nothing happened. Finally was led to pray, "Lord, whatever you want, you don't have to bring him back, but save his soul." 2 years after that prayer, she got a phone call from her husband. And she said, "So my husband Robert is here tonight to take up the rest of the story." Robert walks up. He talks about how he was raised in alcoholism and how he was truly emotionally distant, including from his wife, and how he had had an affair and didn't care. It was hard. Couldn't stand his wife, loathed her actually. Probably he's feeling this despair on her from all the change in her life, and she has no power over her depression. And he, coming from a family of depression and alcoholism, that's toxic to him. I'm not making excuses. This is just the way life goes, isn't it? And he talked about how all of a sudden he was lying in bed one night, and now his wife has been praying, finally brought to the point, "God, whatever your will is, but save his soul." And he was talking about lying in bed one night and how all of a sudden, he said, he was awoken, and all of a sudden it was like this something clawing at his chest. And all of a sudden he opened his eyes and he said this huge dark bird like just came out of his chest, this horrible bird. And he said, "It's like I could see it." And he goes, "It was all the pain and the despair and the addiction and the self-loathing. It was like it was being torn out of him in this bird and left." He was so shaken by what he saw and what he experienced. The only thing you could think of is, "I have to call Nora." So he calls Nora, and out of the blue, she gets his phone call, and he goes, what just happened to me? She said, that was God. He said, well, what should I do? She goes, all I can tell you is that you better seek God and be filled by God, or else something seven times worse could come back in. And that so scared him, and the truth of it hit him, that he did turn and begin to seek God, and God reconciled them, put their marriage back together, caused them to fall in love as never before, the mercy of God. And now they've been in our church 15 years, ministering and counseling to the couples of our church, strengthening what remains in our church. And you know, beloved, this Ahaz thinking in Nora, we can see it, can't we? Totally defeated, can barely go to church, but God is faithful. God is faithful. He's so merciful. She presented herself at the church, and it looked like nothing was happening. Yet, you know, God is not our miracle assistant. God is not our miracle assistant. And she had to be changed, didn't she, from I want him back, or then I want him back my way, to your will, oh God. Save his soul. That's Jesus. And God did it. And brought her, slowly brought her from this Ahaz thinking of defeat to finally brought into that place of glorious release. God, your way, that would satisfy my heart. Your way would satisfy my heart and save his soul. That prayer I know you'll answer. And the prayer of faith produced the results. And a glorious thing has happened. She said, you know, when I talked to her later, that her husband was on the throne of her heart. And beloved, sometimes, you know, in Ahaz thinking, that's the problem. Other things sit on the throne in our life. And it can be our stubbornness, can it? It can be whatever can be on the throne of our heart. And the Lord in his great mercy, it might be our fear, it may be the abuse through the alcohol. God knows, but he has decided not to be our judge. The Son of Man has decided not to be our judge, but to be our Savior. So we can open our heart. And she'd opened her heart. And God did what only God could do for his glory. And strengthening them. How good God is. How merciful. How kind. He comes to us with this message. He comes knowing all about us and not despising us. I talk about how when I pick up my little dog, Roo, who can't for some reason go into a bedroom at night, and I have to pick him up and take him where he really wants to go. We have to be picked up and taken to where that place in God, except God take us there, we can't go. But I don't despise that little dog, I said last night. I kiss him on the head. His weakness draws out of me, Roo, you're so, I love you. And I kiss his head all the way. That's what he'll do for us today. That's what he does. That's how he puts faith in us. That's how he takes us to faith. He loves us there. He loves us there. He loves us there. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? I just want to share with you something God quickened me with last night. Last night, just at the end, I shared something that there are many, many who battle depression and despair. And this is the word that the Lord gave to my husband last week, to those who are battling depression. And the altars were filled all the way to the back of the church. Now, you see, it's not a sin when we go through these dark times, and it's not an unusual thing if you are in it. But here's what he said. When the prophet Elijah was running from his enemy, Jezebel, it's like he was running in defeat, and so he went to the wilderness. But what did the Lord do? The Lord gave him a little food, a little water, and then told him to rest. The next day gave him a little food, a little water, and then told him to rest. And that's what the Lord is saying. Every day, get up, read a little bit of the Bible. That's your food. Just pray, even if it's for 1 minute. Even if it's just 1 minute, that's your water. And then rest. every day, just a little food, a little water, and then rest. And then the Lord, what he did was, on the strength of that and the little water, gave him supernatural strength for 40 days. God supernaturally, in the little, supernatural strength to go 40 days on something that shouldn't have been enough for one. That's what, you know, we're going to ask God for a miracle of hope. A miracle of hope. Lord, I just pray now. You say, ask largely. I've heard your word, Lord, and we have heard your word. And you are saying, ask of me a sign. So, Lord, I'm asking for the miraculous. I pray, O God, in the name of Jesus, that a spirit of hope would come upon the women of this nation. I pray a spirit of hope, Lord. Hope would spring again in the women in this room. A supernatural hope. I ask for this miracle, O God, to defy the enemy. For Lord, I thank you that Elijah felt he was running from an enemy, Jezebel, but he was actually being led to his next appointment in God. He was not running in defeat, but the Lord, you know how to restore your people. A little food, a little water, and some rest. Lord, you love us. You're not a hard taskmaster where you drive us. You know the conditions, Lord, what his face is here. And God of all hope, God of all hope, would you minister now to every woman in this room? Supernatural hope in the name of Jesus. Break the powers, Lord, that bind. Break the powers that bind. We've come to ask largely, and we have come to ask deeply. I ask for the supernatural infusion of hope for every woman in this room. And I pray, Lord, now you give us strength to receive it, that we will learn to rest in you, the rest in the Lord. There is a rest in you. We don't have to apologize for it. We don't have to apologize for our low moments. Lord, you know what you're doing. We give ourselves up to the God who teaches us how to rest in him, that we may be moved on to our next assignment, O God. Thank you. There's no condemnation here. And thank you for the supernatural hope being put in every heart in this room. And through the women in this room, begin to be infused heart to heart of women in this nation who are without hope. Thank you, Lord. You're our glory, and you're the lifter up of our heads. You are the lifter up of our heads, oh God. When there is no one to do that, Lord, you do it. For your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I pray, Lord, just a spirit of compassion now among us. And for women of this nation, not a judging. Just break the power of a critical religious spirit. Break it, Lord. Break it. Break it. Break it. We need this broken, Lord. And let us operate, Lord, with hope in us that we can bear with one another. And their darkness not pull us under, but you in us pull them up. You in us pull them up. Lord, you are our strength. Be their strength. Use us, O God, to be a strength to pull women up into faith in Christ. Lord, you can do this. You've said you'd do it today. So we're asking largely a spirit of hope now in every woman in this place. I thank no more rock bottom. No more rock bottom. But Lord, you've come now as our deliverer and to lift us up. We thank you for that. Hallelujah. 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 Now just continue to come, my sisters. You want prayer, you want someone to just lay your hand on you, believe with you. This ministry will continue. If you're in your seats, I just want you, as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, we don't do this by rote, but as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and begins to fill you with hope, I want you by faith to rise to your feet. I'd like to ask everybody seated, everybody just right now seated, as the Holy Spirit touches you with faith, I want you
as a sign and a witness to stand to your feet with the arms in the air. You are receiving that gift that he's giving to you. This don't look to the left or the right, doesn't matter what's there. As God touches you with hope, you go to your feet, put your hands in the air, and you begin to praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we break that spirit that causes us not to ask concerning certain things. For you are good, and you love us. And Lord, you're going to perform the miraculous. Lord, we break the power of that spirit that makes us afraid or makes us think we're not worthy or that makes us too unbelieving. Lord, you are so good and you understand what's in our heart. But you say, ask me because I am good. So we break the power of that fear and the lie behind it. We break the power. And women in this place are going to rise, Lord, calling you good, looking to the cross to be reminded how good you are, and rising in faith and saying, Lord, your prayers, Lord, even if they're not the best prayers, Lord, you will guide me into the best prayer. I will not be afraid of asking in case it's not a good prayer. For as you've led that lady Nora, Lord, into the best prayer, you will even guide me in my prayers. You will guide me by day and you will guide me by night. Lord, we break the spirit of not asking for those certain important things for fear, Lord, fear of failure, fear of not worthy, fear of you not answering. For Lord, you've come to us today and you're saying, ask me and I'll give you a sign that a woman will be given faith to bear life. And Lord, where we feel the weakest, you say, that's good. I'll meet you in your weakness. Ask me to. And so we do. And I thank you, Lord, where we're the weakest, where we lack hope, you are visiting us today supernaturally with hope. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. What you're doing is a miracle. And it will last. And it will last. Hallelujah. 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 And I thank you, Lord, that we are going to learn, Lord, to ask for everything, little things, big things, that, Lord, through this, you're going to teach us to pray simple prayers in faith, that you're going to turn us into the Word, and we're going to pray the Word. Lord, we're just going to pray. When you grow silent, we don't grow afraid, Lord. We just keep knocking and asking. Because you say all those that ask and seek and knock, Lord, they get their answer. And I do thank you for that. And I thank you all over this place, Lord. You are touching women in the place we need it the most. So we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the courage to ask in a new way, in a deeper way, that you may be glorified, that you may get glory in this nation through women, Lord, who you are springing up faith again in us and hope and joy, Lord, that's of you, of your spirit. You're putting joy back in us. You're putting joy and hope. And we just receive it now. We just receive it, oh God. What you are doing supernaturally, we receive it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, just now let us be dismissed, Lord. And just let us go, Lord, with something of your spirit. We thank you for this. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.